counting, and we're all counting. That's 5 wins in a row for the Tennessee Titans after they went to Houston on Sunday without Ryan Tannehill. They are now up to the number 2 seed in the AFC. As Mike Vrabel said, yes, it's early, but it's a far cry from where they were at 0-2. And in fact, they're so good right now that as we record this Tuesday evening, it is hours removed from the NFL trade deadline. Titans didn't need to do anything. Stood pat at the deadline. So as we get into this episode of Believe in Titans podcast, we will once again analyze the state of things with this franchise with John Glennon of All Titans at SI.com. John, how are you?
I am well. Hope you guys are good.
Doing great. And former Titans cornerback, Denard Walker. Denard, welcome as always.
Thank you for having me. How you doing this
evening, we're not, David? It's not having you. You are the man.
I'm
you
a
are
fixture. The, thank you.
Are the, you are the central figure to this.
Okay. I'll pay you after this show for saying that.
and I am David Beauclair of All Titans at SI.com as well. You can read my work, John's work, at SI.com/NFL/Titans. Easy enough. And once again, this is the Believe in Titans podcast brought to you by Bet Online. Basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. It's always the fastest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. And where we start is, I mean, let's just say this, Denard, it's not always pretty with this team, but I think we've said it before, a win is a win is a win is a win, right? I mean, do you look at that game Sunday and say, that's a good win?
I thought it was a great win. I thought it was a dominating performance by the defense. Listen, if you shame Bowen, what you did was amazing. If you're Anthony Midgett and Scott Booker, the secondary coach, the fact that you didn't give up, well, you gave up one explosive play. I'm not going to mention that because that came in the last series. That was a give me. I'm not even going to mention that. But you know what? Mention that. But the fact that 17-3, you was without your starting quarterback. You had a rookie quarterback who, by the way, I thought he played well. I mean, yes, he has some struggles. But again, what he had, 6 for 9 for 55 yards and one interception. And you tell me you walked away. You got out of Houston with a victory. I'll take that any day of the week, David.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they didn't ask Malik Willis to do a whole lot. And John, what did this game say about the Titans, I guess, in terms of their ability to just do what is necessary?
Well, I mean, to me, it says they've got this formula down pat right now, you know, and it's kind of a 3-pronged formula for victory each week. Heavy dose of Derrick Henry. We saw that obviously again this week. And to me, you know, this was one of Derrick Henry's more impressive performances, because it came against a team that absolutely knew more so than any other week in years how much they were going to rely on Derrick Henry as opposed to a rookie quarterback making his first start. So it's been heavy Derrick Henry. It's been absolutely stifling the opposing team's running game. You know, we saw them do it twice to Jonathan Taylor. We saw them do it to Damian Pierce here against the Texans. And big plays on defense, you know, whether that's, knocking away a pass for a 2-point conversion, knocking loose a key fumble late in the game, or, you know, a Christian Fulton interception in this game. those are kind of the three main prongs we've seen for the Titans winning formula. So they did it again. Credit to them. Stakes get much higher Sunday when they go to Kansas City. Challenge gets much larger, I should say.
Yeah, yes, it does. There's no question. But, you know, a couple things from the Texans game, too. Jeffrey Simmons didn't practice all week, made it onto the field, and was not just taking up space out there, was absolutely dominating people. I mean, this was a performance Steve McNair would be proud of. You know, I mean, to see a guy be able to play that well. And Denard, I want to ask you too, specifically, you mentioned Scott Booker, the safeties coach, Anthony Midgett, the secondary coach. John mentioned Christian Fulton. As I was watching that game, it looked to me like Christian Fulton was just having a day. As a cornerback, you know, you know what he was dealing with out there. How good a performance did he give from your perspective?
The whole secondary was phenomenal. I mean, not just Christian with the pick in the first half. You can tell he played with a swag. You know, he played with confidence, and he's been banged up all season. But, you know, Roger McCreary, what a great job. What do you have, six tackles this game? And I love the way that they played. They fed off of one another. This defense today, Sunday, they played as a unit. Adam Archuleta, who was calling the game, he says, listen, the performance that Tennessee put on, it was amazing. They couldn't play it any better. The fact that you went into Houston, which is a hard place to play, and you held that team to 3 points, 3 points. This is a team that took you last year right down to the last play. And the fact that they dominated Houston, the running game for Houston was a non-factor. Why? You got the big dog, Jeffrey Simmons, two tackle, two solos, one sack, two tackle for losses. He was playing with people out there. So I just love the way that they played as a unit. David Long Jr. continues to step up. He's playing big. And the way that this team is playing at this point, it is going to be tough to beat them because they're playing just not aggressive, but they're playing to dominate teams. I mean, look at the last few games that they've played. 10 points. You go back last week. How many points did they allow? It was 10 points. They've just been suffocating their opponents, and that's the way that you have to play. So if you're Todd down, I mean, if you're Shane Bowen, you have to be proud of your unit right now and the way that they've been playing the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me. You know, five-game win streaks don't come along all the time. And in fact, this is going back to 1999. This is the 10th streak this franchise has had of five wins or more. So you're talking basically once every other year on average, you get a streak like this. And this is a fascinating streak to me, because typically what you see when a team gets rolling, you know, at some point it seems like everything starts to go right and you're scoring a bunch of points and this and that. During this streak, their point total keeps going down. It was 24 in each of the first two games. Then it was 21 against Washington, 19 against Indianapolis, 17 this week against Houston. But the flip side of that is the other team's point totals keep going down too, from 22 against the Raiders, 17 back-to-back games, the Colts and Commanders, and then, as Denard noted, 10 each of the last 2 weeks. It seems to me that this team has gotten comfortable with this identity and with it, with this sense that we're just gonna turn this into ugly football. Your offense isn't gonna be able to do anything. We're not gonna ask our offense to do any more than it has to. And it almost seems like they're reveling in this sort of approach right now. You know, I don't think there was any better indication of that than how they used Malik Willis, you know, a guy who is so dynamic and has such a great personality and showed the ability to learn from week to week in the preseason. But John Glennon, I mean, what do we take away from Malik Willis here? Is this an indictment of him that they didn't ask him to do more? Is it simply they didn't need him to do more?
I lean more towards the latter, and you know, Malik Willis was pretty upfront about it after the game. You know, sort of the questions were, you know, along the lines of, you know, a little disappointing only to throw 10 passes, you know, and you know, not to have a ton of production. And you know, his response was basically like, Why would we do that? Why would we throw more passes when they couldn't stop the run? What's the point? And he was absolutely right. You know, I mean, everybody that was watching that game, everybody in the building knew that the Titans were going to give the ball to Derrick Henry. That's what they did, and the Texans couldn't stop them. So, yeah, there was no point in risking anything with Malik Willis. That said, you know, I guess from what we saw, the limited sample size of Malik Willis to me was a little disappointing, just in terms of I guess, you know, something we saw a little too often in the preseason, and that is the hesitation. You know, we saw him sack a number of times last year in college. I think it was 51 times. You know, in the preseason, 3 games he was sacked 9 times, and in this game, you know, 13 dropbacks he was sacked 3 times. Not blaming all of them on him, but on some of those. And also on some of the on the interception, he waited a little bit too long. There was hesitation there. You know, there was a swing pass to Derrick Henry, a little bit too long. There was an open throw that he had to Chigo Conquo, waited a little too long and sailed the pass too. So it was a little bit disappointing in the small sample size. That said, you know, maybe if he throws a few more passes in the second half, maybe some of those butterflies are gone at that point. Maybe he has a better performance, and sort of looking forward, you know, along those same lines, maybe now that he's got this one under his belt, maybe, you know, maybe things get a little easier. Maybe the processing goes a little quicker, as we go on for Malik Willis.
Yeah, Donato, I want to ask you how big a moment was this for Malik Willis? He played a lot in the preseason, but he, you know, most every, I think every team he played against, they rested most of their starters, you know, so he didn't see first team NFL defense kind of guys. Then you go 7 weeks through the regular season, he's running the scout team offense. And yes, he worked with the starting offense most of all of last week during practice, but even he said he didn't know he was going to be starting till Saturday at some point. So it's not like he went through the week. You know, yes, everybody works like they're going to be the starter, but it's something different if you know. And then to, you know, to get his first taste of NFL action against real, proven, physical, fast, tough NFL defenders, all that stuff on the road, no less. You know, I mean, how much of, I guess, what does he take away from this? How much is this a step forward for him in his growth into becoming a full-time NFL player?
Welcome to the National Football League. It is hard to compete each Sunday, Thursday, or Monday night. It's a different level, especially when you get into the regular season. It's not like the preseason. It's a different speed. I remember my first start against Cincinnati, David. I was nerve-wracked. I was scared. And I just needed to go out there, hopefully, and make a play. And they threw a fade route, Kyle Pickens on me, and I knocked it down. And when I knocked it down, I got up and I was cheering. I was so happy. But what it did was it gave me confidence. And that's what Malik, that's what you're looking for. That's what you gain each time you play. And there's a young player I was thinking about, Malik, and I go back in the olden days, go back to 1998, and this young player, he threw 3 interceptions and lost to Miami, and it was 24-9, but he battled back, and he made a play at the end, and you can see the toughness and the grit that this young man he had in him. And he ended up that his rookie year, he had what 28 interceptions was thrown, but he would go on to have this phenomenal, phenomenal career. You know who I'm talking about?
I do know who you're
Who
talking about.
is that?
That's Peyton
That's
Manning.
Peyton Manning, man. So that gives you hope. And the difference between Peyton and Malik, at least Malik won. He got a win, and Peyton Manning got a loss Sunday. But, you know, I agree with John. He looked a little tentative. I thought the 2-minute drill, he could have stepped up on one of them when he took the sack. He could have stepped up and got the first down. But that's what happens sometimes. You get rattled. But the more he plays and the more confidence he gains, he's going to make those plays. But it's tough when it's your first start. The play to Chig, I mean, God, he was wide open. The only thing he had to do was just throw it right in the basket, and it probably would have been a touchdown. But again, he sidearm, and I was thinking about, who is this guy? Is this Michael Vick, or is this old Barney Kosar out here with the sidearm throw? So those are little things that Coach Pat O'Hara, your quarterback coach who you work with, he can clean that up. And I thought Todd Downing, and I don't want to get all into this, but Todd Downing did a great job. You saw a lot of zone read. What he was trying to do was settle the young man down. He did a great job in creating some plays that helped Malik. I thought about that 3rd and 5. I went back, and I like to go back and I like to look at plays, because plays kind of determine kind of the fate of the game. And when you look at that third and five, what was that in the third quarter? And they ran that little zone read to Dontrell, and Dontrell hits that edge and gets that huge gains, which end up putting Tennessee up. They go 14-13 with a touchdown by Derrick. But what you love about that, I think Todd Downing knew that our best chance at getting a first down would probably be running the ball rather than throwing it. And I thought he did a great job in putting Malik in situations that was more favorable for him. So Todd Downing, I think he deserves to get a lot of credit this game because he called a great game. I mean, considering the fact that you have a first-year quarterback at the helm, that's tough.
Yeah, I wonder too, if, you know, how much of it was Downing, and certainly – you know, certainly Downing was aware of everything. He knew what he had at his disposal that day. But I often wonder in a situation like this too, if at some point during that game, late in the first half, maybe during their halftime discussions, if Mike Vrabel didn't say to him, look, just stay right here in this one section of the call sheet, you know, as much as you possibly can, and, you know, get, you know, vary it as much as you possibly can. But I, you know, we need to just stay right here until Houston convinces us, you know, to try and do that. We need to do something else. Let's just keep doing this. And, you know, they did do some different things with formation, and they did start to, you know, run Dontrell a little bit in the second half. And he had a couple big plays. I'm with you. I thought there was some good variety in terms of very little variety, if you will, when you stuck to running the ball all day. And we, you know, we have to talk a little bit more about Derrick Henry's performance, and, you know, 219 yards, the sixth 200 yard game of his career, tied for the NFL record there. The only one with six games of 200 plus yards and two touchdowns in each of them. It, you know, the numbers start to get silly. John Glennon, are you ready to declare that Derrick Henry of 2019 and 2020 is back in 2022?
Pretty close. I would have to say, you know, the one asterisk that pops up in my mind is the big 41 yard run, of course, that Derrick Henry had, his longest run of the season. Great run, you know, kind of set the tone for what kind of day it was going to be, but did it also maybe just leave us thinking, okay, did Derrick Henry pre-surgery, does he get caught, you know, in that kind of a situation? You almost never saw Derrick Henry get caught from behind on a run like that before. But hard to argue much with a 219-yard game, you know, and to me, a couple things stood out. One was, why weren't the Texans putting even more defenders in the box? What, you know, like we talked about earlier, everybody knew that the Derrick Henry was going to be running the ball on 80% of the Titans plays, and still they couldn't, you know, they had nothing to stop the Titans with. But on a positive Titans note, I think the offensive line is getting better and better in the run blocking department. You know, Nate Davis came back his first game in three. I thought he was really good. You know, Ben Jones graded out. That was his best run blocking game of the year. So I think, you know, especially in the run game, not so much pass pro, but especially in the run game, this offensive line is feeling better and better about itself. And I do, when in terms of Henry in particular, I do think that arrow is still pointing up this season, you know, and one stat, you know, I like kind of these little the next gen stats and the Pro Football Focus and so forth. And one of them they use a lot is that yards over expectation. And Derrick Henry, despite the big numbers he was putting up this year, hadn't really gone over expectation that often this year. This game, totally different. He was 76 yards over what should be expected, you know, when a typical running back gets the ball in the same situations. So I think he is trending up. Certainly, if he is not back at the 2019 and 20 level, he is certainly pretty close at this point.
Yeah, I thought Nate Davis made a huge difference. And if you look at the NFL Next Gen Stats site, they'll do these cards where they'll show where every running back's run went on a particular game, and the Titans made a lot of hay running center, left guard, right guard area. You know, Ben Jones and Nate Davis, and I thought that was, you know, it got to the point there was one sequence. I believe it was early in the fourth quarter. On first down, he runs it, he gets 11 yards. On the next play, he runs it, he gets 12 yards. On the next play, he runs it, he gets 13 yards. I mean, it was, and you know, to your point too, John, like at that point, it was no secret what the Titans were doing. It was just silly. And Denard, I got to ask you, as a guy who's played defense in this league, what were those Texans defenders going through at that point? What were, you know, how frustrating, how demoralizing do you think that was for them on Sunday?
Well, what's demoralizing to a defensive unit is when a running back, when you can establish the running game and you can establish it early, typically that you're favorable to win a game. That's how you win in the National Football League, is your ability to run. And when you're talking about a running back like King, who had 124 yards at halftime, but what was amazing was that 81 yards came after contact. David, that's crazy. I mean, that's crazy numbers. The fact that what happened was Tennessee did exactly what I said they had to do. They imposed their will on a defensive front that's been struggling all season. They're what, dead last or near dead last in the NFL in rushing defense?
Yeah, they were last going into the game.
And the bottom line is this: in Houston, you have a problem, because if you look at it, I mean, look at the games that he's had against Houston. Yeah. I don't understand the defensive coordinator. Who is the defensive coordinator? Is it Lovie Smith?
He's a head coach, so yeah.
He should be fired after this game. Because look, I mean, just go back to 2019. David, he has.
It wasn't Lovie then, though. That's the thing. Like, this is.
I know, but it's the same thing.
Coordinators and things.
Exactly, it's the same theme. So you would think that Houston would say, you know what? Look at the game in 2019, Week 17, 211 yards. Look at 2020, both what, 212 in Week 6 and Week 17, 250 yards. And Sunday, you would tell me he had 32 carries for 219, and you didn't make the running game your priority. Lovie Smith is one of the best defensive minds in the business. What was he thinking, not saying, hey, listen, we have to stop the run? And they didn't even do anything in the passing game. They didn't have to do nothing. What, Robert Woods was your leading receiver with 26 yards passing? Tennessee finished with 314 rushing yards. You will not win a game in the National Football League when a team is putting up those numbers against you. So, again, I don't know. Houston, you have a problem. They better fix it quickly, because I tell you what, this can happen again, you know, when they play the second time.
Yeah, if you had told me going into that game the Titans were going to finish with 300-plus rushing yards, I would have assumed Malik Willis had 70 or 80 of them, you know, mm-hmm. that they were going to do some of the zone read stuff and everything. And they didn't. I think there was one one play that I can – recall, wasn't there, that was a designed run?
There was one that he kept, but there were a few of them, or you know, two or three that he froze defenders. That Malik actually did freeze defenders too, by, you know, giving that RPO fake and opening a little space up the middle for Derrick Henry too. So that helped.
This Sunday, primetime game. A little different caliber of opponent now with the Kansas City Chiefs, another 5-2 team in Kansas City, which is typically a tough place to play. Titans have one loss already on the road in primetime this year against a really good team that didn't go well. John, I'll start with you. How optimistic should Titans fans be that this will be different? This will be a better performance, or are they in for a long night again?
Yeah, this is an outstanding litmus test. I mean, you know, you look at this 5-game winning streak, the combined records of these five teams, well, four teams, because they played the Colts twice, 10-18-1. So, you know, as you said, David, earlier, you know, it's still quite an accomplishment to rattle off a 5-game win streak, but level much different here. When you look at a Kansas City offense, number one in the league, averaging 32 points a game, number one in the league, 20 touchdown passes. You know, 30 points in four of their seven games. Oh, and by the way, they're coming off a bye week also, so they've had a few extra days to prepare for this game as well. So I think, you know, as well as the Titans have played against the run during this win streak, you know, I'm not sure that they are quite as dominant and ready to stifle opponents in the passing game. You know, they haven't proven that quite as much against good competition yet this year. So this will be a test. You know, X plays, they've cut down those X plays the last 2 weeks. They've done a very good job against them. Kansas City is gonna test that quite a bit as well. You know, all that said, you know, I mean, the Titans did hammer the Chiefs last year. They did hammer Pat Mahomes. They did beat this Chiefs team 27-3 last year too, and you know, so it's not out of the realm of possibility. But you know, I as assuming, you know, even for the Titans that they do get Ryan Tannehill, let's say that just for that assumption's sake that he'll be back, he'll be a starter. They're going to have to find a way to score, say, you know, more than 20 points in a game. They may have to top 24 for the first time this year, because even with a strong defensive performance, I still think you're going to have to put some points on the board to beat this Kansas City team in Kansas City.
What about it, Denard? Will the Titans need to score more than 24, or what do they need to do to turn this into another one of their low scoring sort of grinded out games that we've seen from them here lately?
You need to make it ugly. You need to make it ugly. You need to make it like last year's game where you had Patrick Mahomes carted off the field. It was a dominating performance last year, but that's last year because the Chiefs. The Chief team that we saw in Nashville was the – we didn't see that team the later in the season. They were much better. They were a lot much better. You talk about that game against Cincinnati. They should have been in the Super Bowl last year if it wasn't for the Bengals. But when I look at this – when I look at this team, this Chiefs offense, everything is predicated on explosive plays. This is a West Coast offense, so everything is about timing. So what you want to do is you want to take that approach that Todd Bowles took in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. You want to make sure you don't allow this team to top the defense, which means get over the top. So keep everything in front of you. Let Patrick Mahomes throw for 400 or 500 yards. Let him have that, David. But just make sure you do like Tampa Bay. Just tackle everything in front of you. This team right now with Tennessee, the secondary, with McCrary, Christian Fulton, Terrence Mitchell, you got two of the best safeties in the league. And we know KB and we know Amani, and you're talking about the addition of Andrew Adams. This is a great secondary. They match up well against Kansas City skill position players. I think if anybody in the league that can go against, you know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Mecole Hardman, we know about his speed. Juju Smith-Schuster, we saw him last year. It's this secondary. They're that good right now. They're playing with the attitude. That's what you have to have. But with Kansas City, we know that everything is predicated on one player, number 87, Kelce. That's the guy that makes it go. That's the machine that makes it run. So what you want to do is make sure you always account for Kelce. That's what Tampa Bay did. They made Kansas City one-dimensional. Don't be afraid if you're Shane Bowen to give up 400 yards passing, but just don't let nothing get over the top of the defense. If they can do that and stop the run, guess what? Tennessee has a chance of going into Kansas City and coming out with the victory Sunday, but it's going to be doing the little things.
So who's the guy? Is Amani Hooker the one? I mean, we saw him lined up in the slot against the Colts, against some of their bigger, fast receivers a couple weeks ago. Is he the guy who needs to sort of be responsible for Kelce most of the day, or is there somebody else you think on the roster who can do that job?
What about David Long Jr.? You think David Long Jr. matches up against Kelce? I mean, Travis, that's his game. That's what they want to do. They utilize his skill set. He's big, so he's too big for safeties. He's about 6'5", So it's a tough matchup for safeties who's much smaller. You're talking about a safety my size at 6 foot, 6 foot one. So what you want to do is to make sure you account for him at all times. He loves those little drag routes in the field. He loves those seam routes. Make sure you stop that. And don't let any of those receivers, because they're not better than your back half. If you're Tennessee, you're saying, listen, we match up well against these guys. Let's not make this a game where it's all about Patrick Mahomes. Again, he's just looking for the playmakers. He's looking, number one, for Kelce. So always, if you can account for that team's best player, that's their number one player, then it will give you a chance to win if you can take care of all the other little pieces.
Yeah, and to your point, too, about, you know, staying back, keeping things in front of you, getting guys to the ground, the fact that the Titans are getting the production they are up front will allow them to do that. They can rush four guys, drop seven into coverage so that they're, you know, they sort of cover those lanes that that the Chiefs like to exploit after the catch and whatnot. And, you know, the way Jeffrey Simmons is practically living in opponents' backfields right now, the you know, Bud Dupree is starting to show the pass rush that everybody expected of him when they signed him to a free agent deal last year. Denico Autry continues to be a real X factor, a guy who can line up a lot of different places and still find a way to get to the quarterback. So as long as they can generate some sort of pressure and Mahomes doesn't have all day to stand back there and do whatever he wants, I agree. I think this defense can make things interesting. John, you were about to say something?
Yeah, I was gonna point out too. I also think that they would love to use Imani Hooker. You know, he's been kind of a tight end whisperer in some of these games over his years with the Titans. But let's not forget, I don't believe he played in the entire second half.
He did not finish
against Houston after suffering a shoulder injury. So still a little bit of a question mark there. But certainly when they use that three safety alignment against the Colts, who have some good tight ends and some good big wide receivers, it was very successful. And I think that also speaks well of how quickly Andrew Adams has progressed from a guy they picked up, you know, off a practice squad, to a guy they're willing to play, you know, 40, 50 snaps in a game in just a few weeks here. So Hooker's health will certainly be a key, something to watch this week.
And while we're talking about players' health, you know, Ryan Tannehill with the knee, didn't practice last Wednesday, was a limited participant Thursday. Then the Friday injury report comes out. He did not practice. In addition to the ankle, he's listed with an illness. And then reports are that the illness kept him from the walkthrough on Saturday. They didn't bring him with them to Houston. What do we make of this, John? Do we think Ryan Tannehill will be back to business as usual or close to it this week? What's the sense going into this week?
Well, David, I think certainly you must have missed Mike Vrabel cleared everything up on Monday at his press conference when we asked him about that. And I think Jim Wyatt started off on that note, and Mike Vrabel gave him the, you know, well, we'll see where things stand on Wednesday. And I was foolish enough to follow up by asking, well, you know, can you at least sort of say whether he's recovered from the illness portion? And the answer was exactly the same, was we'll see on Wednesday. So we will see tomorrow. As we've noted, this is out Tuesday night. But that's it. You know, those ankle injuries are, you know, those are tough. Those can take some time, you know, and it wasn't even like Ryan Tannehill was, you know, really, he was out there one day last week, but he wasn't throwing any passes. So I don't know. I still kind of have my doubts. And then if you're the Titans, you're in kind of you're not in the worst spot because, you know, you've done so well in your division, you know, and you're set up pretty well that you don't necessarily have to force Tannehill to go in there gimpy, again, just because one game in, you know, week nine, is so vital. So, you know, if he's only 50%, if he's 75%, you know, maybe you stay conservative and you say, okay, we'd love to, you know, have all our top guns firing against Kansas City. If we don't, it's not the end of the world in the big picture. So I don't know. At this point, again, this is even before any injury reports have come out, I'm a little hesitant to think that Tannehill jumps right back in there. We'll see.
Well, what about it, Denard? You were confident last week that Tannehill was going to play. I was confident he was going to play. If to John's point, if, How healthy does he have to be before you would put him in this game right now?
Well, I want him healthy. I don't want a 50% Ryan Tannehill because, you know, if he goes into that game and let's say if it's an ankle injury and you know the injury report, when it's reported to another team, coaches, they will stress that out. Like, listen, he has an ankle injury, so touch that ankle, if you know what I mean. That's what we used to do when I played at Tennessee. If we found out during the week that a quarterback was hurt and whatever part of his body was hurt, we would go after and attack that part of the body. That's just the way the game is played. So I would not want Ron in there if he's 50% because it's not about one game. It's about the games after this that counts, and it's about having him healthy going down the stretch because this team is not going to win if he's not healthy going down the stretch, and that's what you want. You want a healthy quarterback, not someone who's 50%, because if he's 50%, David, I don't know how much he can give you, and I don't know if that 50% is good enough to beat Kansas City.
So do those conversations take place? Because all we ever hear publicly is it's you want to work today to get better today. You'll do the same thing tomorrow. Everything's looking ahead. Will coaches say, look, we're 5-2. We're in control of the division. We can afford to take an extra week with Ryan Tannehill here.
Yes. Yes. I'll be honest with you. Yes, because it's about the 17-game schedule. It's not about one game. And one game is not going to determine your fate. So, yeah, guys, coaches have that conversation with players. Yeah, we can afford to go into a – and it's not a division. I mean, it's a divisional AFC, but it's not in AFC South. So, again, you want to win your division. That's what it's about because, remember, games in your division counts twice. This is just, again, it's like a match early, two great teams. But I don't want a 50% run. And if he's not healthy, John, I don't see him. I don't want to see him Sunday.
Well, regardless of whether it's Tannehill, whether it's Malik Willis, I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to guarantee the Titans are going to have to throw the ball more than 10 times. I mean, Kansas City's run defense is Kansas City. Yeah, I'm going way out on a limb here. Kansas City's run defense is third in the league, 92 yards a game allowed, which is right behind the Titans at 89.1. We've all seen how good the Titans are week to week in stopping the run. If the Chiefs are just that good or maybe just a tick below that, Derrick Henry's going to earn his yards however many he gets Sunday. But it's certainly a much more interesting, a much more compelling matchup than the last one. And we will all watch it. We will all be back here next week to talk about it. Until then, Denard Walker, thank you as always.
Thank you, David and John. Hope you guys have a great evening.
Yep, we will do our best, John. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
And until next week, this is the Believe in Titans podcast brought to you by Bet Online.